T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now, it's Anthony Sain from Sports Illustrated's All Grizzlies on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, Anthony, we had intended to use this segment to talk only and exclusively about the NBA return and the playoff format, but we got some big news, which was first reported by yours truly, Mike Miller stepping down to spend more time with family, stepping down from his position at the University of Memphis as an assistant. When you hear that, when you read that news, what's your first reaction?
I wasn't surprised at all. You know, just a reminder, Jason, John, you know, I'm black, so, you know, the streets talk, and the black streets talk a little different than other streets, so I've kind of heard stuff about Mike rumored to be getting about here for a while now.
What do you think in terms of the merits of I mean, just the decision itself, and what it means for Memphis and for Penny? Like, it's pretty clear why Mike is doing it. He's doing it to spend more time with his family. That makes sense. But what about for Memphis? What do you think the impact is for the University of Memphis?
I think it's going to have some impact. Penny's going to have to go back to the drawing board in a sense on some of the things he was doing. I know Mike was his lead recruiter, but we're still talking about Penny Hardaway. One of the biggest names in basketball, especially as far as being a pop culture icon to these kids who, with name recognition and kids knowing who Penny is. I don't think it's going to be hard for him to find someone who wants to come work alongside him. I don't think particularly replacing Mike could be difficult, but finding someone that can come in and do a good job, I don't think that's going to be that hard at all for Penny.
Is there a former Grizzly could do it? Is there a man, you know, in that John had mentioned, we were messing around with it at first, but a guy here in town, whether or not there's a guy that could do it. I mess around with Joe Tony Allen. I don't know that Tony Allen's got ties to top 10, top 15, top 20 level recruits. But is there a guy locally, like a millionaire type, if you were still going that route, you know what I mean, that's been around?
I think Penny this time around may just want to get a guy who's a workhorse. I think that Penny's a big enough name within himself. I think he might want to get a guy who's able to come in who's just going to have Penny's back, who's going to come in and just do his thing and do what he has to do to set out for the program, and not another guy who, not saying that this was Mike and not saying that having this type of guy is a bad thing, but I just think he needs to go get a dedicated assistant basketball coach who he wants to do. And is there no other distractions, nothing else going on? Just
well,
a guy who's going to go crazy.
Well, I will actually go with you on that one, Sam, because first of all, what you have to know going into the whole process is you're not going to find another Mike Miller, right? Like, you're not going to find another guy who wants to coach in college basketball, who's going to work in college basketball, who has all these connections in college basketball, and, oh, by the way, can get LeBron on FaceTime and won 2 rings. Like, that guy doesn't exist out there. You know what I mean? Like, so if you acknowledge that at the outset, well, then it's like, okay, well, what do I need from our program? And really, if I had to say, I just think Memphis needs a grinder. You know, I think Memphis needs a guy who, you know, there are guys out there who are, you know, absolutely around and who know, you know, the big regions and who have connections. You just got to find them. You know, I do think what does make this particular time difficult is that, like, you did not see the coaching carousel, right? So there aren't as many guys who are looking for jobs, which just means Memphis is going to have to pay a lot of money. Like that's just what you got to understand. But I do think I agree with you. Like, you need a guy who just knows the game and can get you some players, but who's going to work hard and can really help Penny with the college side of it and understand that there is no Mike Miller out there to go get.
Right. Yeah. Totally agree.
What do you let's talk about this NBA format, which like John said, we thought we'd be talking to you exclusively about. Is this as fair? Is this about as fair as it was going to get for the Grizzlies, saying in terms of the 22 teams back, and if you're the 8th or the 9th, you're going to do a play-in. But they are, it feels like, at least valuing somewhat that 3.5-game lead. The Grizzlies, I mean, it's in their hands, quite frankly. Was this as fair as it was going to get for them?
Yeah, I like it. I took a look at the details today, and after I sat and read it, I think it's really in the Grizzlies' favor. I got a story I'm still trying to put up real fast on allgrizzlies.com, just kind of details about it. Just I like to give people breakdowns for slow people like myself so they'll understand it. And just the way that it reads, it's pretty good for the Grizzlies, man. I mean, like, if right now they have a 3.5-game lead and every team's going to play eight teams and you're playing all good teams, everyone's playing pretty much the same schedule. So at the end of those eight games, if the Grizzlies have a 4-game lead over the 9th seed, there's no play-in tournament. The Grizzlies they get the 8th seed because they were 4 games up on everyone else. But if not, the 9th and 10th place teams have to play each other in a single elimination game. And then the Grizzlies play that team, well, whoever, then whoever's in 8th place plays the 9th and 10th place team in a 2 out of 3 tournament, or 2 out of 3 series, what best of 3 series or whatever. And I think that that's in the Grizzlies' favor. I think that it kind of lets them have the advantage, being that they were already up 3.5 games. And with everyone playing equal teams, you know, New Orleans had kind of a weak schedule. Portland had a pretty decent schedule. The Grizzlies had a murderous schedule. Now everyone's going to be playing a pretty difficult schedule. And you like the Grizzlies' chances come still having a 4-game lead after it's all over with.
I think they got to get to 4.5, don't they? We've been operating on that, saying that if it's 4
wrong,
or fewer,
yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
with that, what do you think the chances are that they can build on that lead and stay out of a play-in? You know, and again, saying a lot of that's going to depend on how that eight looks, what those eight regular season games look like. Do you have the Pelicans twice and Portland twice? But how much chance do you give them to build on that lead? John and I think the most likely thing is they might slide down to 9 or they hold on to 8, but not slip out, and it's going to be, I think, tough to build a lead. What do you think? What do you think is the most likely way it'll go?
I hate to sound like a homer, but I really think the Grizzlies are going to make some noise in this resumed season or this postseason, whatever
they're going to be healthy. To your point, they will be healthy.
They're going to be healthy as hell, and they're young and crazy, man. Like they're so young that no one's going to be able to tell the Grizzlies what they're not able to do, and they've carried a chip on their shoulder the whole season. And this whole time they've been sitting at home, these kids are watching TV. They're on Twitter. They're seeing the same stuff we're seeing, and I think it's fueling a lot of the fire in them. And I think that they've came back healthy. They came back in shape. I even heard that Jaren, if you look at Jaren on his Instagram, Jaren's slimmer than he was during the season. He's lost weight. He spent a lot of time on conditioning. You're going to see a new Jaren. You know, Jaw's going to be fine. You're going to see Justice Winslow. Brandon Clark should be back. I think they're a team that can make some noise if you give them an opportunity.
Yeah, we are talking to Anthony Sain. He covers the Grizzlies for allgrizzlies.com. All right, I'm going to ask you this. In terms of, I mean, we have sort of mentioned this particular season being weird and different than all the other, but like, there's not going to be an asterisk on this, right? I mean, the format staying sort of what it would otherwise. I mean, you add the wrinkle of the play-in, but there's no asterisk for this season, right?
I think that's ridiculous too. Anyone who says that, because you're talking about 5-on-5 basketball, man versus man, and you're going to see now you're eliminating some of the lesser teams in the league, and these are the 22 best teams in the league going in, and whoever comes out of that format, they're the champion. And they're playing 7-game series. They came out and said that too. It won't be any. Everything else is going on at the bottom. It's whatever. But the teams are who they are, and they are what they are. The home court advantage is going to be gone. It's just like playing basketball in the gym back in the day. You win, you stay on the court. It's this simple. And that's how they're doing it. I don't see how any true basketball fan can put an asterisk around it.
I'm curious, saying which of these teams behind them would you be most concerned about overtaking them? And you got, and I get. I guess I got to include the Kings. I didn't earlier when I asked Giannotto the same question, and his point was, well, the Kings were playing the best before the break. Now it feels like an eternity, right, since we've played. So I just wonder the chances of them picking up where they left off and just being as hot. I think they were 7-3 in their last 10. For me, it's Portland or New Orleans when I ask that question. And if it's a Portland that's got Nurkic and Zach Collins back, and has been there and done that, and Dame's charged up, for me, it's them. But New Orleans has been a tough matchup for the Grizzlies. They got Zion. Who for you though? Which of those teams would you be most concerned about overtaking you?
I'll put them in this order. I think the Pelicans probably are the biggest the biggest problem, mainly because I think the Pelicans just should have been way better than they were this season. I have no clue why they weren't. We talked about this the whole year, the three of us have. Yep. I have no clue why the Pelicans aren't better than what they are. The team is
on paper,
it's solid in every position. They have vets. They have young guys. They have an all-star, do-everything wing in Brandon Ingram. They got Zion Williamson. Jrue Holiday, top defender, point guard, shooting guard. They're tough. They got J.J. Redick. They've got vets off the bench. They should be a lot better than what they are, I still think. Plus the fact that we know that the NBA wants Zion in the playoffs, I think that's a factor as well. I put the Kings in number two. I think they're a good team. De'Aaron Fox is really came on this season. He gave y'all the blues in every game we played against the Kings. That team really started turning up at the end of the season. But I think I'll put Portland third behind them. I just don't think Portland. I think that Portland has a lot of dysfunction. I think that locker room has a lot of issues. And I mean, just a few weeks ago, we had McCollum saying we don't need to play at all, and we had Lillard saying he's not playing unless they're playing for something real. So I just think the team has a lot of dysfunction, and I think that we've seen that. If you remember that last game we played against them, that team's weird, man. Like they got some weird chemistry going on in their locker room, and I just don't have them above those two things.
Maybe I shouldn't count out Pop, you know, the Spurs.
Yeah, you can never count out Pop.
Right.
I think it's a 22 season playoff streak on the line for them as well.
Hey,
that's right.
Sam, before we get you out of here, man, you know, you mentioned at the beginning of this segment that you are a black man in Memphis, and you sort of have seen everything that's gone down in the last week in America, here in Memphis, around the country. What are you feeling today? And I will say this, I need to do this is breaking news. The other three officers have been charged. They've now been arrested and charged as a result of George Floyd's death. So it does appear as though the protests are working. But what are your feelings and your thoughts today, Anthony?
I don't even think there's enough time left in the segment to list all the emotions that I feel. They're truly all over the place, guys, right now. As y'all know, I gave with me today, and this is the first time I've had them since everything. I had them earlier before the shooting last week, so everything is really kind of settling in. Like I spent time with him and my daughter this morning, and just as a parent, man, it's just tough to see, bro. Because you, like I talked about on Twitter over the weekend, things like teaching my son how to protect himself from the good guys shouldn't be part of the parenting curriculum. You know what I mean? So it's just a tough spot, man, and I get frustrated because you see people who, instead of taking a clear side in this, they're pandering, or they're not pandering, they're dealing with semantics about stuff like, well, I'm down for the justice part, but I don't like the looting, I don't like the violent protests, all these type of things, and it just infuriates me, man, because I'm like, you shouldn't ever be in a place where you're telling people how they should react to injustice. Especially if you're not the one that's being oppressed, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it angers me, bro, because it's like people say, well, they shouldn't loot or they shouldn't be violent or those people, they're just stealing stuff. Okay, if that's the case, if you want to talk about that, let's look at some of the systematic issues that causes them to have that mentality. Let's take a look at the poverty issues in the inner cities.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the differences in between schools that our kids are able to go to. And the kids who take a look at the difference between Germantown Elementary and Alsea Elementary. It used to be Alsea Elementary. It doesn't even exist anymore, I don't think. Let's take a look at those type of things if you really want to look at injustice, because it's more than just police killing black people. There's so many systematic issues in this city and across the country that lead to the looting, lead to the violent behavior. But like I tell people all the time, you can't, for people who love animals, I know this will hit home to them, you can't abuse a dog and then tell them you can bark, but you can't bite back. It just doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? You can't abuse someone and then tell them how they're allowed to respond to that abuse. And I think that my people have been abused for a while. And I have a sense of pride. I love seeing what people are doing. And I'll be honest, I'm taking pride in the other than the nonviolent protest, just being honest, because this country was founded on violence. You know what I mean? Our freedom was taken from us through violence. So why are we – this country lives off of invading other nations and taking from other nations intelligent and Robin instilling. That's happened for generations and centuries before now. But now, since black people are standing up, it's an issue, and I can't say that I agree with it.
Hey, Anthony, man, we appreciate the time as always.
Thanks for your thoughts, brother.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, bro.
Yes, sir.
He is Anthony Saint. Covers the Grizzlies for all Grizzlies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.